00.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Find me in your mercy, Lord. Align me till I'm home.
Do you know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places.
Lord, we ask for the nations.
Amen, amen. Yes, Lord, we ask for the nations. Mm-hmm. Just as it says in Psalm 2, verse 8, ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter, and you will dash them to pieces like pottery. And this psalm is a hymn of the coming Messiah. And this is, of course, in the Old Testament. And it speaks of his deity and his universal reign. You know, we always say Jesus reigns over all the earth, but not all people are under his authority in their hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to just open up with that. The Lord gave me that scripture and that song at 2 o'clock this morning. So evidently we were going to be talking about that. And so I just want to welcome you to Hidden Places and welcome to my co-host Deanne Diaz.
Good morning, everyone.
Well, of course I don't have your mic on.
Ooh. Good morning, everyone.
A lot of moving parts this morning. And welcome to my other co-host, Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
And then Nanette has invited a guest this morning. And if you want to introduce him, then we'll get to know him a little bit later.
Oh, gosh. What an honor to introduce, just we consider him family, John Kim, who is the founder and a leader for Kairos Global Missions. Mm-hmm. And so I will allow him to, you know, free reign to say what's behind that name. And that's totally the Lord. The Lord's leading, the Lord's flowing rivers flowing through him and directing him wherever he is sent. And he's always willing, and it's just a blessing to have him here.
Amen. Welcome,
John. Thank you so much.
Yes, welcome.
And I'm just going to open up with what the Lord gave me, and then it's all open after that. So we'll hear more. So when we were in prayer last week, Deanne and myself and Annette and another brother, so, you know, we were just praying, and then all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit say, make Greece great again, the country of Greece. And I was like, well, that's going to be the Lord, because I haven't been thinking about Greece or knowing anything about Greece. And, you know, we normally don't hear about Greece in the news very often. So we began to pray for Greece and for the nation, for the salvation, and, you know, that God would move there. And then a couple of days later, I think it was Tuesday, here I am on social media again on Instagram, and up pops a video of these four guys from Greece. And the one, he's doing like a selfie video, and he's holding up the video, and it on the caption it says, there has been no church or Christians in this town for 500 years. Mm. And he and these three guys, they were so excited. He said, we're going to go door to door and tell people about Jesus, because they don't know about Jesus. And I, my heart was so encouraged. And so immediately I'm started praying for Greece again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it was very clear that the Lord wanted prayer for that. And, you know, we think about people that live in these different countries. They're the ones who are going to evangelize their own nations. You know, we send missionaries, and but it's the people from the country itself that are really going to be the ones to evangelize their own people. And what else did I say? Anyway, so 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You know, our prayers, and, you know, as an intercessor, as a watchman, you know, we know that when we pray that God is going to move in countries. And I just thought about this brother, and there's nobody there. He may find that there's believers there, but they've been hidden. And so our prayers are the fuel for them when their boots on the ground. And so that's it. That's all that I had. So when I got up this morning, Nanette texted me and said, do you think I could have my friend call in and talk for a few minutes? He's a missionary. So we're going to hear how all of that transpired. And so I get, today is about the nations Amen. Of the earth. Amen. And because this is what's on God's heart for today. And you know that mm-hmm. on this program here, we every week we just wait to hear from the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do. So we just invite you, Nanette, to carry on.
Well, last night, before even Karen started sharing what the Lord was placing in her heart, the Lord, as always, he just takes me to the scriptures, and yes. then I figure out my way, what he's pointing out. And mm-hmm. so he begins to talk to me about the tribes and how Moses was giving them the allotment of the land. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, you know, what does that have to do with me? You know, and I'm like, okay, go on, Lord. And I begin to read, and I skim and scam a lot. I'm sorry. I do. And so when I'm reading, I'm like pulling out the treasures. I'm pulling out what the Lord is highlighting. And so, but, you know, every time he took me, and this was in the book of John, and I remembered a friend of mine has sent me a card for my birthday this year. And her word to me that she felt from the Lord was, take the land. Take the land. Wow. And I was like, what is that all about? So the Lord took me to Joshua 13, and it says, you know, it's titled, I know we don't necessarily go by the title, but in my New Living Translation, it says, the land yet to be conquered. Mm. And I began reading from there, and it says, the land divided east of the Jordan, the allotment for the tribe of Levi, the land given to the tribe of Reuben, and so on and so on. And what they did when they got the land, you know, how the Lord was saying, you know, to drive out, you know, drive these people out. Spiritually speaking, today is to give them the gospel.
Yes. Yes.
The Great Commission as well. Okay. And so, well, that's what I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me. And so he was saying some of them didn't deal with them. Some of them kind of like just kept them there. But they didn't make that change. You know, vice versa, their religion or their ways or their idol worship went on to them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it wasn't really fulfilled back then. And I just felt like it's going to be different now. It's going to be different now, you know. Taking over the land is going to look different. Just be led by me and do things differently than what they did before. Because we still have that land. That land is still for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's just my snippet. And then I just text Karen this morning, you know, because I just started praying and again meditating on the scriptures. And I heard John Kim. And I said, wow. I go, he doesn't even know I'm on the radio. And he's like, invite him. And I said, I think he's away, which he just came 2 days ago from the Middle East anyway. And so so anyway, I just text him. Mind you, this is 8:00 in the morning. And Joyce, I do apologize if you're listening in. Oh. I am. I said, ooh, I was like, I'm a woman texting him at 8:00 in the morning.
Uh-oh.
I'm like having such a hard time with this. And I said, but I'm just going to do it. I know it's the Lord. It was burning in me. And
yes. And
so, good morning. It's not an emergency. If you can give me a call, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I was babbling on. And he just said, I will call you back. And I go, oh gosh, I'm in trouble now. And so, but he called me right away and I said, I don't know if you're free. And he says, I happen to be free. Like my schedule's free this morning. And I just told him what has been brewing through the Holy Spirit in our hearts and how if he was open and he, you know, accepted this invitation, we would be, you know, honored and he can share whatever the Lord places in his heart. And he was available and he came and that's all. This is how God works, guys. Amen. All Amen. We have to do is just move with him, not question him.
Yes.
Our life truly belongs to him, and he does what he pleases to do. And that's our heart here on the radio. We want to please him. And so, John Kim is here today, this morning.
Well, it is such an honor to be here. I know our listeners, they can't see, what I'm seeing in the room, but I mean, I'm just in a room with, three amazing spirit-filled, spirit-led, godly women, and, you just feel the presence of God here. And so for me, a tremendous honor. I mean, Hannette, thank you for even just thinking about me, but I am so happy to be here.
Amen.
May I piggyback on a couple things? You fit right in with what we're what the Lord's doing here today, John. So on Sunday, when we started praying, or when we were gathered, the four of us were gathered praying, the brother in Christ that was with us, he's been giving him a lot of words about this is a Kairos time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Did you tell him that, Nanette?
No, I didn't.
I forgot he even said that.
And I just read something this morning or last night on a Facebook prophetic page. They were talking about a Kairos time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Wow. But as Karen's, as God laid on her heart to pray for Greece first, in our prayer meeting, then I don't know, remember who, what, but then it was Poland, and then it was Sweden, mm-hmm. and then it was the nations. We mm-hmm. were praying for the nations in Psalm 2. Mm-hmm. We were asking mm-hmm. for the nations, for our mm-hmm. inheritance, and then the last thing we were going to close up, and then the brother says, "Well, I just believe God's." Haiti is on God's heart right now. God really wants us to pray for Haiti. And oh, how we prayed for Haiti.
Yes.
How we wept. And there were words going mm-hmm. forth over Haiti. And Jesus, Nanette had a vision that Jesus stepped on that land, and she mm-hmm. saw his sandals and his robe. And everywhere he stepped, the light was illuminating the darkness, and the weeping women. You had a word about the weeping women.
The return of the weeping women.
Yes, and I saw Jesus crying with compassion. He was moved with compassion. So you know what? God is crying. God wants the nations. Mm-hmm. And this morning in my prayer time, I was what came to me was that song, Karen, Ask of the Nations, and I hadn't thought of that song in 20 years. And then God was talking about the nations, tribes, and tongues, like all peoples he loves and wants everyone to be saved and hear the gospel. And then as I was driving, just left my house and got on the road, there was a semi off the side of the road parked, and it on the semi was tribes. Now, God is God alone.
He put it together.
Just absolutely, absolutely amazing. And the Greek, God had you start with Greece. Mm-hmm. And in Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Yeah. So the Greece is right there, right after the Hebrews, right after mm-hmm. Israel. I'll stop.
Yeah. We're just confirming here. You
just
see
confirming
how the Holy Spirit moves
in
such a righteous order.
Mm-hmm.
Such a righteous order.
And I think as we experience this week to week, hopefully those of you that feel like, well, I don't really hear from God. I don't know if I hear from the Holy Spirit. But you can see through what he does and speaks to each one of us individually that it really is him. Mm-hmm. And we have to trust him. Mm-hmm. And
That was the second truck I saw. Trusted. I was on 95, and there was a truck said trusted. I'm not lying.
The trucks
I'm
really
telling you. I'm telling
you.
The truth.
The trucks
really
all speak.
The trucks
God
always
God uses
speak
the
to
trucks
me.
On
always
your behalf.
Always the trucks speak to me when I travel. Trust.
So now, but we want to hear John.
Yes,
how
yes.
What you were thinking this morning prior to Nanette calling you?
Yeah.
If anything.
or where did you come,
I mean, what you all are sharing, I really bear witness in my spirit. It is the Lord highlighting, what's on his heart. Mm-hmm. And, the Lord speaking to you about Greece and the word kairos. I mean, kairos is a Greek
that's right.
word.
Oh, that's
mm-hmm.
true.
And what that word means is, God's appointed time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's... You know, the other Greek word for time, it's called chronos, what we understand as like chronological time. Mm-hmm. God's timing is different from our time. You know, and I know a lot of us feel that frustration when we hear the Lord speaking, or, you know, we sense something and God has his time, but we get it confused and we want it on our time.
Yes.
It's not Chronos time, it is Kairos time, and we have to trust him that he will fulfill all that he promises. But I really believe that the nations has always been on his heart. I mean, the Bible says that Jesus right now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And Psalm 2, which was highlighted, you know, it's about, you know, Jesus receiving the reward of his suffering. Mm-hmm. It's his inheritance. Yeah. And it's people. God cares about people. He cares about every soul. And every soul were created in his image,
mm-hmm.
right? And so as a leader of a missions organization, one of the things that the Lord put on my heart is that, you know, the greatest injustice in the world is not, you know, human trafficking, although that's a terrible thing, or, you know, lack of clean water, or lack of an education, or, you know, corruption, and all those things are all terrible. But, you know, what we believe is, you know, the greatest injustice in the world is a lack of access to the gospel.
Yes.
You know, God sent his son, mm-hmm. to die on the cross, to shed his blood, and he rose again from the grave. And if anybody believes in him, you know, will not perish but have everlasting life. Like, that's the greatest message. That is the greatest gift, the gift of salvation. And there are people that don't even know who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that is a huge injustice. And so our prayer, you know, mm-hmm. for the church worldwide is that we would rally together and unite in his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to get the gospel message out to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
And then, so your focus with your ministry is in the 1040 window?
Correct. Yeah, and so, you know, some of our listeners may not know what the 1040 window is, but simple explanation is that it simply means 10 degrees north and 40 degrees north latitude, stemming from East Asia all the way to North Africa. So that's a huge chunk of the world. About two-thirds of the world lives in that window. And it's called a window because we see windows as opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that block of the world is, you know, predominantly Muslim, Hindu, and Buddhist. And there's a term called unreached people groups, or also they're unengaged people groups. And so I don't want people to get lost in these terminology. But a question I get asked a lot is, you know, John, why do you, you know, train and send missionaries to go overseas when, you know, we have, you know, unreached people right across the street here in America, or, you know, in South Florida? And there's a misunderstanding with the definition, because in the missions world, unreached doesn't mean what a normal person, you know, would expect that word to mean. In the missions world, unreached means that, you know, a given people group, less than 2% of that group are evangelical Christians. And so in the 1040 window, it is, you know, the vast majority are non-believers. And in that window, you know, churches have to go underground. You won't see an above ground church. And, you know, and so, you know, on my commute to church where I serve at, from my house to the church, it's a 15-minute drive. And I can count about 10 churches that I drive by on the way to my church alone. Just in a 15-minute, you know, commute, there's at least 10 churches that I drive by. I was just in the Middle East, you know, this past week, and there are believers, but you wouldn't know that by driving by, because you drive in a, you know, a bustling city, and you will not see, you know, a cross. You will not see a name of a church. And so, you know, it's not a matter of, people being lost. There's lost people everywhere, you know. And so, you know, God cares about the lost, and we need, you know, evangelists and gospel preachers here in America. A lost soul in the Middle East is not more valuable than a lost soul in South Florida. Mm-hmm. God cares about all. And so the issue is just, you know, their access to the gospel is so challenging in these places that often it takes a missionary to, you know, be trained and go overseas to be able to bring the gospel message. And so that's kind of the work that that we're involved with.
Wow.
That's mm-hmm. awesome.
And yeah, praise God for the people that are called to really be the boots on the ground, because not everyone is called to the mission field.
Yes.
And I know when I first got saved, I said, well, I'm already a missionary, because I was living in the West Indies.
Yeah,
you were. Of course, it was the courtesy of Uncle Sam, you know, with the military. But I always felt like I was a missionary when I got saved, because I was around, you know, islanders, and of course, there were people that I didn't know. I wasn't familiar with the country and everything, but, you know, I went to all these different countries in my military career, and I always considered that I was a missionary. And
me too.
But I had the support.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't out there on my own.
Yeah.
Doing it.
It's so true, because when you do begin your walk of salvation, I know with me, automatically I said I was a missionary. It's mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. who wouldn't say that initially when you come to Christ? Mm-hmm. And then you get this good picture, this pattern that he sets before us that's so mission-minded.
Right. Yeah, your focus is on evangelizing.
It's all about missions. It's all mm-hmm. about the missionary work, you know. And I don't know. I saw it instantly, and of course, I had a few missions trips. I wouldn't call them that. I mean, not in comparison to what John Kim and his. He has a huge family, beautiful, precious family, mothers and fathers, even children from like toddler age, like sharing the gospel, loving on people. It's just amazing the team that he has. They're gems. They're truly gems. But, you know, when I got sent out to the mission field, I went through the church, and I did like hostels and things like that. And I tell you what, it really did do a work in me, you know, in my mm-hmm. heart and mm-hmm. stuff. Just my experience there was so impactful that I really thought like the church was ready to like send me out as one of their missionaries. Mm. And, you know, and then, you know, I met Adrian and I got married, and that was the end of that. We talked about missions and stuff, cause he has a missions heart. He's mission minded. But you know, then we had our, you know, Ariel and then we always saw it in her, but make a long story short, we just, we're always waiting, you know, when she gets a little bigger, and when she gets a little bigger, if God opens the door. And when I see his team, like they're just, excuse me my language, but they're just popping out, you know, and like in the womb, that baby is like pouring into people's lives. Like seriously, I mean, they they do it as families. I mean, that was impossible years ago, correct? Yeah. I mean, like you couldn't go with your children. Now we have these precious families going out there, living with the people, living in those communities, mm-hmm. like learning about them. It's like a kind of give and take, you know, I want to learn about you. And at the same time, that gives them the desire, I want to learn about you. Like, and it's just so beautiful just to see that play out among them. And so yes, if you're a believer of Christ, you're a missionary.
Amen.
Enough said.
Yeah. Amen. So, John, where are some of the places that you've been, some of the countries, and which one has had the most impact?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many, but our second son, he was born in China, and so we were missionaries in China for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. We worked with the underground house churches in China, and, you know, a lot of it was, you know, sharing the gospel, working alongside, you know, the house churches, you know, a lot of it, you know, you had to be, you know, careful, you know, in terms of, you know, security-wise, but, you know, we were leading people to Christ, and you know, after 3 years, the secret police came to our house, almost broke down our door, and we were forced to leave. And so, as an American citizen, you know, there's outside of that, there's not much the government can do to us. But you know, we have friends that are locals, and I mean, my spiritual father, he's a Chinese house church pastor, persecuted for many, many years. He had to escape China. You know, he was on the run for the sake of the gospel for over, you know, 26 years, you know, pastoring large movements. But, you know, it's, you know, you think a lot of these places, you know, that we got to feel sorry for them. But, you know, the reality is they're experiencing the power of God, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the joy of the Spirit, even in persecution. We were hosting one persecuted Chinese pastor years ago in the States, and him and his wife, they would wake up every morning at 3:30 in the morning on the dot, and we would hear them, you know, singing just worship songs out loud. And at first it's, you know, startled us, and we thought, oh, you know, maybe they have jet lag or something, right? and then after their worship time, they would go into a time of prayer, right? And then, you know, they stayed at our house for well over a week, and it was 3:30 on the dot. They would just start out singing, and then you can hear them praying. And I asked this pastor, I said, you know, why, you know, a lot of the Chinese persecuted believers that I've met, you guys sing a lot. And he said, that's all we could do in our prison cells, because we didn't have access to our Bibles. We didn't, we couldn't meet in, you know, in fellowship, because we were, you know, all in our cells. And, you know, all they could do is just worship and just sing. So, you know, it's been a joy to see, you know, the persecuted church, but yeah, you know, before knowing their situation, I would feel so sorry for them, but actually my faith has been so strengthened being around them more than I've ever had in America.
Wow.
And so, you know, a lot of places like that, I've just been so stirred and, so strengthened, in the nations.
You know, I always have this picture, you know, and I had seen some of the videos of the underground church with thousands of people in there. I mean, just tears, you know, and praying, and for hours on end, they'll stand there, like 12 hours and stuff, just, you know, that's not happening in America. But, you know, you would just see the heart, and I'm like, wow, I'm not saying I'd like to be there, but I would like to be there to experience that. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like, you know, they're the underground church. So in the last days before Jesus comes, you just see them emerging, and with, you know, that's what's, it's like, that's what's going to push the world over the end with the harvest.
Yes.
And the final awakening. And so we just... Yeah, like you said, I used to feel bad, you know, that they're imprisoned and stuff. But when you hear the testimonies, you know, they don't feel bad at all. You know, it's just such a joy. And
we had at the place that we gather at. Your spiritual father?
Yeah, Peter Hsu. Yeah,
and he came, and I tell you what, we had a awesome weekend with him, and. My family and I, we got to sit and just listen. And throughout the tears and everything that we were feeling as a family in that moment, there's one thing that I received right then and then was the true meaning of joy. Mm. Like, this man exuded joy.
Yeah.
He walked in the real joy, not the joy we talk about, right? Or we feel like we can define ourselves with. It's not the kingdom joy. Like, this man had it. Like, he had it. And that's what I was receiving through. And it was interesting. I was like, wow, Lord, like, he has the true joy of the Lord. Yeah. Like, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. And he had shared, and I'll probably do a terrible job, and I'll paraphrase. But one of the things that impacted me is the fact that he said he realized how much he loved Christ in as he was dying. Like, he realized, mm-hmm. like, it just met him. He was like, I really love you, Lord. Like, he, and those words impacted me when he says, like, I'm physically dying, but I'm more alive because I come to realize that I love him with all my heart, mm-hmm. all my mind, and all my strength. I tell you what, that has impacted me. That moment that those two things that that man shared, mm-hmm. I received the joy, and I also received what it looked like to truly get to that place. And so when you see these missionaries or when you see these underground churches, you realize that they get the message right away. Mm-hmm. To live with Christ is also to die, right?
That's right.
To partake in his sufferings is also to be able to partake in his glory. Like, they truly recognize, like, the new man. Like, the new man, and they walk in it, and they're ready to die right away. How many people, and I love America, right? But how many people here, amongst us, even ourselves, can we truly say that we got that full gospel revelation to truly, like, get to that point? These people get to that point right away. They don't have no time to, like, all the years that we spend, you know, pretty much wasteful. But they get it, and it's just... they're influencing us, I know. And I pray that every listener here that's listening in, that you're just touched by this, and you truly receive what we're all trying to share here, what he is sharing, what's in his heart today.
Amen. All right, we got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You say, lift up your eyes. The harvest is here.
Have you heard it before?
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. You need to hear and embrace the Word of God. We are beginning a new live program on Tuesday, December the 3rd at 11 a.m., and it will air live every Tuesday. We call it a biblical response. It's designed to look closely at some of the hot-button issues impacting our culture. We will view them through the lens of biblical truth, the Word of God, not just exposing the meaning of today's evil events, but giving us a clear understanding of how to address them. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring. Always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
We are back, and again, this is Hidden Places, and we have a guest today, John Kim from Kairos Global Ministries, and we really thank you for being here, John, and it's pretty interesting to hear your stories, and you had said you just got back from the Middle East.
Yes.
So we'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, I was in the Middle East and was there for a meeting with Christian businessmen. You know, earlier I was sharing about, you know, the 1040 window. You know, over 95% of the unreached live there. And, you know, it's, you know, the reputation of that region, you know, people call it the hardest and darkest. But when you look at it, you know, from heaven's perspective, there is no place too hard, you know, for the Lord, right? There's no place too dark for the Lord.
Amen.
And so, you know, I always have to remind myself that we got to change our language, mm-hmm. you know? And so one of the words that we use a lot in reaching the Middle East is that, you know, we just have to be creative. You know, we really have to press into the Holy Spirit and really hear Him and follow His leading. And so in the Middle East, you know, in this meeting, it's just amazing to see these Christian business leaders using business, right, to bring the gospel to these places that normally, you know, for the average missionary would have difficult and challenging access. But if you have a platform like a, you know, a business, mm-hmm. there's so many open doors. And so, you know, you know, I know that, there's a calling for full-time ministry and all that, but, you know, every believer is a minister of the gospel.
Yes.
And every believer is called to share the gospel. And so whether, you know, you went to Bible school or, you went to seminary or, you know, you were trained in, you know, ministry and theology, praise God for that. But also every believer needs to be equipped in making disciples, because that command was given to all believers. It wasn't just a select few.
Amen.
And so it was just very encouraging to see business people really taking that call to make disciples, you know, of all nations, and using their business to do that. So yeah, it was just, you know, encouraging to be there to strengthen the work that they're doing. But yeah, they're using, you know, technology, you know, tour companies, you know, whatever it is to, you know, establish business, to create wealth, but also, you know, but the end goal, you know, it's not just about making money. Their biggest passion is mm-hmm. To win souls. Yes. And so, yeah, so, you know, God is, you know, moving people's hearts. People have to get really creative to bring, you know, the gospel to these challenging places, but, yeah, He's doing it. There are people where you think, oh no, there is no gospel witness there. God is faithful. He's put it on somebody's heart, right. You know, and He's raising somebody up. And He is, yeah, there are people being sent forth as laborers for the harvest.
Oh, hallelujah. And, you know, when we hear about how the Lord is revealing Himself to those in the Muslim nations, you know, without any preachers along. And have you encountered anybody that...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This was in a different location, but I was speaking in a conference in Singapore, in Southeast Asia. And, there is a religious harmony in Singapore. There's, you know, a huge chunk of Singaporeans are Malay Muslim. Mm-hmm. And then you have Buddhists and Hindus, and also, you know, Christianity there. But I was preaching at a conference, and a young man, a Muslim, walked in, and we could immediately tell that, you know, he was a Muslim, and he looked lost. He came in, and I thought, you know, maybe he was drunk or, you know, not physically or mentally well, but he was... just shocked because he had a dream the night before where an angel was telling him to go to this church at this time and you're going to hear the most important message of your life.
Wow.
And so he was freaking out because he was literally playing this out in, you know, in real life, what he just dreamt of the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, wasn't exposed to the gospel. You know, we had, you know, share the gospel with him. He didn't immediately accept Christ, but we know that the, you know, that seeds were sown in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we just trust God that God would use somebody, send somebody to, you know, to follow up with him, You know, and yeah, I've always prayed for him, but you know, I've had similar, you know, experiences in the Middle East. I had heard a story where this one village, small village, everyone is a Muslim, but everyone had a dream of a man in white. Mm-hmm. And the Lord Jesus, you know, appears to them in a dream, but everyone in the village had the same dream.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But mm-hmm. because of fear, no one shared it with anybody,
mm-hmm.
and they kept it a secret for a very long time. Well, what happened several months later, a group of missionaries came to this village, and they were going to show the Jesus film. And so, you know, they were able to meet the, you know, the chief elder of that village and said, hey, we want to show you guys this gospel film. And, you know, they had a projector, they had a screen, and, you know, they're showing the Jesus film. And there's a scene early on when Jesus, you know, gets baptized by John the Baptist. And some missionaries reported that at that time, everyone started to cry because they realized that man was the man that came in their dream, and all of them accepted Christ.
Mm. Hallelujah!
Wow,
God is moving. Ooh. You know, we think, you know, John Piper, you know, he says this. You know, God is, you know, doing 10,000 things,
yes.
right? But we may be aware of three of them.
Right. Yes.
God
right.
is always doing things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, that when I had the Lord alerted me about Greece, and then I saw the video with those guys, it was like all of a sudden I was like, we've got to support the people that are out there in countries where we Amen. May think that there's no believers, but there really are. But,
yeah.
But they do have to hear, you know, the Lord, like that one Muslim man, the Lord confirmed, you know, that dream yeah. to him. And
yeah, wow. they need prayers, and they need financial support, because most of these families, most of these individuals, listen, they leave everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just like the disciples did when they followed Jesus, mm-hmm. like leaving everything, and to the point that even when Jesus sent them out, he says, like, don't worry about that. You know, like, you know, you're going to get people who are going to host you in their homes. You know, they're going to welcome you. You know, you walk in that, like in the surprise, in the provision, you know, as you're moving forward. And they had to depend on everything, food and everything. I mean, they couldn't like support themselves, you know, and so anyway, you know, a lot of these families and a lot of these individuals, they just say yes and they follow him, and they need our support, you know, and they need our prayers. And so, again, I invite you to be part of that. There's nothing worth more than to be part of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when Jesus said, you know, go to their house, and then if they don't receive you, then just go
yeah,
the other way. But
exactly.
I don't know if it's the same scripture, but
yeah,
he said, if they receive you, they receive me.
Amen.
Yeah. And,
yeah,
you know, and so you... If he gives you an opening with them, and you know, then you follow the Holy Spirit as to how to lead and minister
mm-hmm.
to those. And you know, we had a brother here some months ago that was a missionary. I don't know what country it was in the Middle East, but they've been over there like 30 years. Him and his wife, all their kids grew up there, and he said they're just friends with people. They go to their house, they have dinner, and they just are friends with them. And they've never talked about Jesus. They're just there mm-hmm. being friends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's up to the Lord how he's going to lead them.
And that's what you guys do, right?
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes, and I'm sure, you know, this missionary that you're talking about, the people that, you know, that they interacted with, they're probably the only Christians that these Muslims knew.
Right.
And that's the lack of access.
Right.
You know, a lot of these places, yeah, some of these Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus, they do not personally know a single believer.
Mm.
And that's just wild. And so, yeah, while I believe, you know, God doesn't call everybody to be an overseas missionary.
Mm-hmm.
But if God called you, you know, to stay here in America, you know, I don't want to downplay the power of intercession. You know, a lot of people look down on, you know, thoughts and prayers, right? Like that, you know, that phrase gets, you know, just frowned upon. But, you know, as believers, we know the power of intercession, that we
That's
can
right.
be,
yes.
you know, in our car interceding for the nations,
That's
right?
right?
And and it's like, you know, the moment we pray in Jesus' name, right? There's no political boundaries, right? There's no other barriers, right? It's, we're led by the Spirit. Nothing can stop the work of the Holy Spirit. And mm-hmm. so through the power of intercession, right?
Amen.
Believers from home in America could shake the nations. And then what Nanette was sharing, missionaries do need our support. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you were sharing about being in the military,
mm-hmm.
right? Our, servicemen and women, right, our armed forces, they need support.
Yes.
They need to know that they're not forgotten, right? And so, you know, we need to be praying for our missionaries, praying for their marriages and their kids, right? Their well-being, that they would, you know, be thriving and being so Spirit-filled and Spirit-led that,
yes.
you know, that their mission is, you know, they're so focused and it's all bringing, you know, the kingdom of God, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. But yeah, I just didn't want to downplay, you know, the missions work that believers in America could be engaged with. And
mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage all the listeners, do not, you know, look down on your prayers. Like, you're not
right.
praying just, you know, to an imaginary wall. Like, the God of heaven
yes.
listens when you pray mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
You know, when I was little, when I was five or six years old, the Peace Corps had just been started. And I remember standing in front of the TV crying because I wanted to go to Africa.
Mm.
I wanted to go to those nations. I wanted to be there. And I always felt like I was going to do that. And, you know, it wasn't until I got saved that, you know, knowing that the Lord had planted that in my heart. But I always, when I think of missionaries, like, and as recently of these guys from Greece, you know, I picture, if I was there, how would I want somebody praying for me? So that's how I pray for people.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, I would want a place to stay. I would want a safe place and, you know, clean water, shower, whatever, so that I could do the work that the Lord mm-hmm. called me to do. So when we pray for those, when we pray for John and his family and those that are associated with his ministry, pray as if you're the one going.
Mm. Yes, that's good.
And,
that's good.
You know, cover them and
yes.
just lift them up.
Amen. Thank you.
Praise God.
We have our teams are spread out in five locations. So we have four teams in the Middle East and then one team in Southeast Asia. We actually have a yearly missions training school that we call Kairos Missions Experience. And it's a three-month ministry training school on the field in a location in Southeast Asia where our team is. Beautiful country where, we just grow together in the word and, you know, in prayer and together with our long-term missionaries, we do outreach. We share the gospel amongst, you know, Hindus and Muslims and people of all sorts of background. And
mm-hmm.
so we have that school every year in the fall. And so you can find out more info on kairosglobal.co. So www.kairosglobal.co. But we're always praying for more laborers. Not everybody's called to go long term. Maybe somebody's just called to go for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have that program available. If somebody has 3 months of their time that they would love to go be trained and have that experience, we would love to invite anybody.
Amen. And where would they contact you? Like, is the email? What's the email?
Yeah, so if they go on our website at kairosglobal.co, all of the information
okay.
is there, our email address. You can get in contact with us, you know, with any questions. But, we just want to encourage the church to be as Great Commission-minded as we can be.
Amen.
Amen. And I feel like we should pray for you before we go. Yes. We've still got about 5 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
And
is the heart of the Father. It's, mm-hmm. He's been giving me the word ancient of days. He is the Ancient of Days, but wow. The ancient paths and the ancient ways and the ancient praise, he's wanting to return us to the foundation.
Yes.
And that is the Great Commission.
Amen.
We know Matthew 19, the last chapter, 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And then Mark, a little different verbiage, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it says the signs will follow in my name, you know, everything that they would do, you know, casting out demons, laying hands on the sick. They will speak with new tongues. And it says they went out and preached everywhere with the Lord working and confirming through them through accompanying signs and wonders. Amen. And that is the salvation. So, Father, we thank you. Yes. We thank you for John. We thank you for the Kairos ministry that he is dedicated and loyal to, answering the call to. Father, we ask you to bless him, bless his family, bless mm-hmm. the ministry. Father, you know their needs, you know their desires. We thank you that as they delight themselves in you, as they lay their lives down as a living sacrifice, that you will give them the desires of their heart, Father God. We declare and decree that there will be no lack and no want because they love you. mm-hmm. You know their hearts, Father. They love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, we thank you for every life they've been able to touch. Yes, in so many different vessels and ways and tools and, like you said, creative ideas. There's so many. We just thank you for every single precious life that they've yes. been able to touch, especially in that 1040 window, Father, that is the unreached. And you want to reach every single one, that not one would perish, that not one mm-hmm. would breathe their last breath without having the opportunity to hear the good news, the gospel, and of your love. In Jesus' mm-hmm. name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. John, thank you so much for coming, and we just thank the Lord for arranging
yes, he did.
For him to come.
He did.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Did. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And you know, we hope to hear from you again.
Yes.
When you're back in the area.
Yes.
So are you? You're not here full time. You're just
no. You we are based here. Yeah. On the Treasure here. Coast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we hope to see you again. And anyway, thank you everybody for joining us for Hidden Places, and we will be back next week. I was gonna say Thursday. Isn't that awful?
Yeah. No, that's okay.
Friday. Well, every Friday.
Because we used to gather and pray on Thursdays.
Yeah,
before
we used to. That's what so I had on my mind.
It's okay.
Okay. So, all right. Well, we'll see everybody next week.
Next
God
week.
Bless.
God bless you.
You said, ask and you will receive.